Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Ladies and gentlemen, we are actually airing a very late edition this evening. Those of you that have been following me on Facebook, both on and off the social media chat rooms and in my private Facebook network, know that I was dealing with a family emergency today where my six-year-old son had gotten into a situation where a very bad piece of glass was stuck in his foot, apparently for some time. So I do want to thank every single one of you for your wonderful words of concern and encouragement and your well wishes. He is doing well. He will be hopefully back to normal by Monday. And now, you know, I don't leave you guys stranded ever. So whenever I can make up for it, I am. And I thank all of you that are in the wings, as have been emailing me and inboxing me about, you know, trying to at least listen in tonight. Okay, this is a very important subject that we are going to be dealing with tonight. So before I get to that, allow me to say a few shout-outs, because that is definitely something that is important, because these are intricate parts of the success of the show. And first and foremost, let me thank God for being here, because without him, we wouldn't have any type of ability to do a darn thing. So thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here another day. I want to thank Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York, for all the consultations that he does with us and for all of the on and off the air contributions that he makes to the success of the show. I want to thank my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Nieves, Monster Miles, DJ Dome Record, Rodney Williams, and of course, our panelists, my slash co-host, and our real favorite activist that's out there in Toledo, Ohio, spreading positivity and assistance anywhere that he can, Deacon Duddy Williams of Toledo, Ohio. So thank you guys for what you do. To my social media groups, the Black Loving Conversations group, I definitely want to say thank you to Linda Miller, Carlton Jones, to Red in Jersey. I want to thank Stalo Jenkins. He's been here doing his thing. Al Tariq Atkins, you've been another wonderful panelist. I've now officially called them my starter panelists. So thank you guys for all that you do and all that you've been doing. I want to also say thank you to the Real World Black News and Discussions Group and the Black History Suppress Group over there for all of the pre-broadcast topic contributions that you've given me. And once again, to those of you that are hanging out with me tonight, thank you very much. All right, we're going to get into what our topic is tonight. Now, we've had a previous segment on this topic. It's not so much a repeat as it is a follow-up, but it is also touching on this, because one of the things that this show definitely is involved with is re-empowering our economy as a Black community. Also, we are definitely trying to target our youth for progression and for betterment. And we know that this generation is lost on having that supporting village that helps them. So one of the things that we want to touch on, because it seems to be a very common and dominant issue on the social media, is these young children that are coming out with, you know, we've seen videos of young kids that are almost as young as toddlers that are being filmed twerking and doing these seductive, very grown-up, very sexual dances called twerking, as you all know. You know, we've got little babies that are still in diapers in some of these outrageous videos that are being posted online. Now, I think what's more retarded about it is that it's not being done by a sexual predator, a stranger. These are being done by either parents family relatives or the caretakers that these people put in place to entrust the child care of their children. So one of the things that the question is tonight is, when children are filmed on twerking by their caretakers and then the videos are posted online, are these videos being posted because the caretakers are abusive, or are they just ignorant? And that is the question on the table tonight. We're living in a very modern world, and that's why the question is up for debate. Whether we should, this is considered a form of abuse, is it a form of neglect, or is it just plain ignorance? That's the question. Now, since it's late, I know a lot of the people that's been out there may not be up to join in on this, but what I will say is that there's been plenty of posts that they were given that will allow us to, attribute to tonight's discussion. You know how this goes, everybody. There's a little early morning break after this. Early show break. Word from our sponsors, and when we get back, we will get this party started. What we are going to do is I'm going to go out with Cher Lloyd and T.I. with I Wish, after a word from our sponsors. We'll be back. Don't go away. Keep it locked right here. Thank you.
Hey. Make a wish, girl. You deserve it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Baby, I can let you go in. Wish that I never did. Freaking perfect and 5'10". Just wanna punch your lip. Yeah. Cause I know I've been wasting time trying to catch your eye. Yeah, I know that I've been so blind thinking that I'm your type. And now I'm at home, I'm all alone. About to pick up the telephone. Got to call my genie so he knows. Yeah, I wish I was old and I wish I was fast. Wish I could jump with a bag full of cash. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that.
But I can get you paradise, heaven, I ever get like. I'm talking solid, set, ice, got a ring, white necklace. And I'm talking reckless, girl, I'm certified, respect it, girl. You like to run your mouth, well, you about to learn a lesson, girl. Yeah, you the one, but I don't play shit in a second, girl. And I ain't even trying to see you naked, girl, wait. Dad, no exaggerate, clearly carried away. But what I'm saying, you can true that. I wanna be wherever you at, so you wishing you could kiss me. Do you really wanna do that, make a wish, girl.
Yeah.
Like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. All right, as I said, going on our way out to break, we are in the middle of what we are trying to do with re-empowering our people. We have been speaking all week about all of the obstacles that we face as a people, definitely for sure. We have to deal with what we already know. We know that we have people on the outside that do not want to see us succeed for whatever reason. Ignorance is limited thinking, racism, all sorts of things are on the table. We are living under a constant blockade, constant obstacles. Now, one of the things that we have spoken about is that all of it is not attributed to just outside people. Some of it are things that we choose to do. Now, on the other hand, especially with the person who is sponsoring this week's show, Professor Carlton Jones, who is a professor out there spreading awareness with research and historianism and everything about the reason why our people believe and think the way we do. However, some things I believe, and as I've made that point, is not just about what we've come from, is about the choices that we now make. The things that we can do for ourselves, we either choose not to do out of fear or just out of plain disinterest or just we're just not believing it could happen. Most of the things that we do from the inside is what makes us divided. Now, with that being said, one of the major issues that seems to be a problem is how our youth are led. And one of the things that we have discussed when we spoke about that was that a lot of times the parents nowadays are trying to be more of their children's ages than they are trying to be parents as they were governed by their parents growing up. The twerking situation that's been spread all over this social media gateways that we now have is becoming rampant in such a way where it's no longer just teenagers or preteens that are doing it that's already bad enough. But there have been videos that have been posted of 3-year-olds and 2-year-olds and kids in Pampers and little ones that are still with bottles that have been grinding up on kids their age. And then the adults in the room are guiding them, directing them, smiling with them, doing whatever. The question on the table tonight is this a form of child abuse or neglect, or do we really have in this day and age people who are really unaware of just how dangerous posting these videos online are? Do parents nowadays have that excuse, or is there still a possibility that there's an excuse? Now, I have a panelist on the line. Before I bring them in, of course, you guys know I always bring out my viewpoint, and when my panelists come in, we will have our either agreement or debate. It doesn't matter. I don't believe that there's any parent in the year 2014 that does not know the dangers of internet predators. I don't believe that. I don't believe as well that it's parents intending to be abusive toward their children. I believe that somewhere in limited thinking, they believe that this is cute because the children are small and they're picking up big people's attitudes and, you know, the things that they do seem cute when it's in such a small package. But there are people out there that find the small package not laced with innocence, but laced with a particular allure to their sexuality or to their sexual prowess. So the problem is that the parents of today are actually catering and feeding the fuel to the fire of these guys and these women, allowing them to have free access to such things. If they're not allowed to have pornography at their fingertips and they can click on to something that will pop up or post in a feed or come up in an alert, then we're still enabling these people to continue feeling and practicing things that they do. So my question to you tonight is, what category does this behavior fall in when parents or caretakers or adults in these children's lives are being the directors of these films and then posting it online? That's my question. So here's our first panelist for the evening. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing, baby?
How are you, hon? Hey, Charles. Okay, well, you know what my viewpoint is. You know what the question is. So tell me what you're thinking.
Well, I think you're accurate on a lot of things that you're saying. I think that it is ignorance and is innocent ignorance. I think also a lot of times you post something on the media on your page and you're forgetting that someone else can take that and place it in any other place they want to. You know, when we were younger, I'm 45 years old, and I remember when we had our house parties and you would move the dining room table, the grown folks have a little kid come in the middle of the floor and their little kid would perform and dance and do all the things that they saw the adults doing, everybody laughing and had a good time. And there was no social media then, so it was harmless. And we all laughed and joked about it, and everybody who's African-American or Hispanic has had those situations, you know.
So
I think that we don't realize just how dangerous social media can be. I don't know if there's abuse. I don't know that it's abuse. I think that it's innocent ignorance, and I think that we forget that social media is so broad that it's bigger than just your Facebook page or your Twitter page or whatever that is that you're posting on it, that somebody can easily take what you posted and place it anywhere. You know, I don't know that it's abuse, and I think we have to be very careful what we call abuse also. I don't know that anyone wants to put their child in harm's way.
I don't agree that they do either. I mean, I'm agreeing with your point, and I disagree with it being abuse, at least by intention. That's the one thing I will say. I don't agree that a parent is deliberately out there, you know, videotaping a 3-year-old in Pampers that's, you know, grinding up to, you know, Sierra's body level or party or something like that, and then, you know, going out there and posting it. But I do believe this. I do believe that there's two things. One thing you addressed about what we used to do growing up in our age, and it was cute. Understand, too, that back then, they wouldn't dare allow us to perform in such a seductive manner. We were considered fresh, fast, trouble, all these things, and a lot of people dug their feet in our behinds to make sure that, you know, we didn't get out of place from where we were. It was cute to imitate James Brown or Michael Jackson or, you know, whoever was the hot, you know, pick of the litter at that time. But they had never allowed us to get down on our knees and start twerking and showing and gyrating and all that stuff, because I think even they found it shocking as much as, you know, they had their own heyday. On the other hand, in this day and age, no matter how innocent a parent is in their thinking when they do this, I think it sort of borders on abuse, or maybe not abuse, but exploitation, not when they're filming it. I think that to each his own in what the hell you do behind your own closed doors. You want to be silly enough to think that, you know, it's cute to even allow your child to entertain such a notion even behind closed doors. That's up to you. But I believe that it starts to border on some questions when they decide to post it online. And I don't think that everybody is as ignorant into knowing about sharing and copying and pasting or saving an image anymore. I don't think there's a grandmother on this earth that doesn't know the dangers, because even if you're not technically savvy, okay, you know how many police posters for public awareness are in public places conspicuously posted? You know how many commercials are bombarding and interrupting your favorite programs to let you know about it?
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you either. I'm saying that I think that when you do it, you're not thinking. You're not thinking. You don't think it can happen to you. You don't think that when you, even when you leave your child, when you take your child, give your child permission to go to school or go to the store, that you automatically assume or take for granted that your child is going to return, that that child that's on a milk carton or that child that's on that poster will never be your child. You never imagine that can be your child, and it is. So there is ignorance to that point, that you don't think it can happen to you. We never think it can happen to us, and I think that we have to be very cautious on how we judge everyone, because anything that you do can be placed in that social media, and before you know it, it's out there. And I don't know that our young people really know what they're posting out there. I don't know if they really know the ramifications for what they're doing. I don't know if they really know. When it comes to babies, I think we have to be more careful. We have to be we have to be more careful about what we do with our children.
I believe that too. And I do believe that when it comes down, especially to the younger children, I think that with all of the obstacles of today's technology, media, image projections, things that these kids are going by believing that they have to match up to, based on what Miley Cyrus will put out there, or, you know, Halle Berry looks like, or, you know, things to that effect, I really believe that we as a parent of today's age need to be more focused in standing our ground with trying to keep as much innocence intact as possible, because we already face a society that is designed to crush the innocence in our children in a very fast and quickened pace. Now, the thing is, like I said, and like you also said, that we're pretty much saying, you know, on maybe in a parallel direction or whatever the case is, but, well, yeah, we do have a lot of ignorance when it comes down to how we're posting things. But on the other hand, I feel like this, especially knowing the big drastic changes that we beef about on a daily basis in the 40-something to 50-something range. Okay, we know what it is that's shocking, that's despicable, that's outrageous. It's our job to be aware of what not to do, and that's my feeling. Now, we spoke about this particular subject directly in a previous segment. We had some person call in pretending to have been a recently released pedophile from jail, but then turned out it was like a kid playing a prank and everything, but the point was, I brought out that kid's prank as an example of he may be goofing off now and thinking it's cute because he's young and he's silly, but there are men and women out there that are real with that.
Of course.
Okay, and the thing is that there has been public service announcements. There have been public billboard announcements. There have been warnings when you buy a new PC now.
Careful with how we judge our parenting also, though. I think it's very easy.
I'm not judging a parent.
I know that you're not, but I think a lot of people are, because we are fearful of what's happening with our children. They're not coming home. So
right.
And our babies. And so we are fearful, but we have to be careful how we speak to parents, because there is no guidebook, and everyone is doing the best they know how to do. You know, there's no one's teaching anyone how to be a good parent. You're learning by what you know and what you were taught. And most of us weren't taught much of anything.
I will say one thing. With setting aside, you know, what we do know, parenting is the most, it's the most volatile job, because, like you said, no guidebooks. You know, you can go to a billion-dollar company to get a minimum wage job, and there's every operational manual you must follow, or every set of rules you must follow if you want to keep your job or be in compliance with what the company is requiring of you. But when it comes to children, even whether you're raising someone else's or assisting in raising someone else's, or if it's your very own child, there are no right or wrong ways to start. The most you could do, like you just said, is do the best you can to give them a good life, to teach them the best way. But now, there are certain things that no matter how unprepared you are when it comes down to, you know, what's to come, that is common sense based on what you were taught, based on what you know about what right and wrong or dangerous and non-dangerous is. The same way before social media was ever in the picture, that we used to teach our children over and over again, you don't take candy from strangers. You don't talk to people that are older than you if you don't know them. You speak and look for a cop if you should get lost, even though nowadays that might be sending them to their death, depending on what shade of color you are. But, you know, you tell them everything that you know that in your mind is associated with safety, with protection, with you know, with rightful teaching. We brought them up in church. We taught them to respect your elders. We taught them that certain people came with a title that had a certain respect that was due to it. Okay? The same applies now. Just because we have a technological advancement, just because now things are going digital or electronic, or, you know, you even smoke electronically nowadays. Okay?
Well, we are assuming that the predator is a stranger. Keep in mind, with social media, you can be anyone. So, and let's be realistic. I can speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing my grandmother, who's no longer with me, discuss how vulnerable their childhood was. They were left unattended, not on purpose. Grandma
right.
had to work. There was very seldom a man in the household, and if he were, you were very careful not to leave him in the house with the girls because you didn't know what he would do.
That's right.
What told me, you know, a lot of things were happening within the confines of the family, you know, and so we're going to do better, and we do better by being kind in how we tell each other how to be better, not by making someone feel inadequate or incompetent or stupid. We can simply tell them that's not appropriate. You should take that down and do it in a way where it's respectful and not in public. Everything in social media is so public now.
Oh, yes.
Everybody's fighting and want to argue and one-up each other, and everyone's smarter and more astute and more knowledgeable. Everybody wants to become something and be better, you know, and I think that we can tell some parent how to do things in private and not make them feel as if they are lacking, you know. And yes, we do have to do better with how we're protecting our children. Most definitely we have to do better in how we're protecting our children. But most of the parents are children themselves.
Indeed. And I was going to say one thing that you said was, you know, it's not about judging. It's not about putting down. But it is about us as an individual. Let's take away every we speak about, you know, like we've been speaking this week on Black unity and unification and coming together. And one of the things that is a problem with us is that we split among ourselves. But the thing is that some things is not about thinking for the collective. Some things is about you having common sense. Even when you were taught, and you know us, we didn't have parents that was close to our age growing up. So they didn't understand, like, the new math that was brought out in schools. They didn't understand the slang as we knew it to be. They couldn't really relate to us on the, you know, like, I can really understand it more clearly than you think level. They understood the universal rules of what the pains of a teenager is, because no matter which era you were in, you went through the exact same growing pains that, you know, comes with teenagers and teenage development. Even though nowadays there's a whole lot more issues on the table that a teen has to face and overcome or sidestep. But it takes not a lot of common sense for you to know that if you're going to dress up the same way your teen is dressing up, and it's something that you would tell your teen they can't do even in this day and age because it's not right or because it would draw attention, that's not the type of attention you need.
My grandmother told me that when I was a child that common sense is a gift. Everyone doesn't possess it.
Indeed. Really, but let's go instinctive. Instinct doesn't take a lot of intelligence. Instinct doesn't take intelligence.
But this, then again, we're judging because everyone doesn't possess common sense to know that when you dress your child in a certain way or when you post a certain thing or things that we may think is funny in private, children don't know any better, so they do what they think makes you laugh, you know, and we send mixed messages to everyone. We tell parents this is the right thing to do, and then we turn around and say, no, you don't do that anymore, you know, and so everyone is bombarded with a bunch of information, and everyone is really, I believe, is doing the very best that they can, and that we have to come in one accord so that we can protect our children, so we can share information with one another. That's why I'm so happy that you have this medium that you have, because we can give this information to each other, and there's no one feeling as if they're being judged by what they don't know. We just share information, that's it, you know, and I was watching a television show the other day, and they had the young girls in the pageants, and they're having them overly made up and then makeup and hair, and I think that's extreme, and that's too much. Is it abusive? I don't know, but it's definitely inappropriate.
It's exploitative, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely. But do you know something, too? We were exploited when we were children also, in a different way. And, we just have to be kind about how we share information with one another. Everyone doesn't get it. Everyone doesn't have that common sense that you talk about. Everyone doesn't have it. You know, so let's be kind.
I agree with that. I also agree that there is a certain point of instinctiveness that comes. You have a child, you want to protect it. You know, it's like maybe I do believe that an awareness situation needs to happen. I do believe that those of us that do know, those of us that are passionate about continuing, you know, the search for change or for getting back to what was once solid for us, you know, and we continue to do it despite the masses telling you how crazy you are or how stupid you are or how much you're looking to live a dream that's never going to happen. Despite all that, you know, there's still people coming to the show to discuss what they're upset with and talk about what they're trying to do about it. There's still people that are on, you know, these social mediums that are sitting up there trying to, you know, preach it, whether people are giving them the back and forth or not. The thing is, there are certain things that it doesn't take common sense for you to say. If you are saying to a person, even in this day and age, make sure you have your phone on in case you see somebody, you know, pretend you're on the phone, or, you know, call this person, or be sure that you're with a person. If you have that much knowledge to say in this day and age, even with all that might be restrictive to you because of what we're missing with all the overhauls of digital and media and network, okay, you have enough common sense to say, wait a minute, that's a little bit too crazy. And people nowadays are bolder than ever. Come on, look at all of the things that we are seeing in the media that would never have happened in a public scenario. These type of things I'm about to mention, you used to read about, and really it shocked you. Like right now, it's just a shake in my head thing. It's no longer a what that happened here. What? Let's look. White man slaps a black child on a plane because he was crying, and the kid was, what, 16 months old on a plane. Now, I remember having my son just going to Chicago on a plane. At 6 months old, he couldn't take the altitude pressure on his ears, and he cried halfway through the trip. Well, this man decided to turn around, backhand the kid, and that's not where it ended. He went and told the mother to shut the nigger baby up. Okay? Now, they tried to immediately give this man some, extenuating circumstances. His son just died. He was under grief, and he was drinking. Drinking doesn't make you change. Drinking just unfilters what you would normally not say when you were not drunk.
Now, no, I don't think that most people would have the nerve to do something like that.
What I'm saying is,
a black kid, you know. I don't think so.
I'm thinking what I'm saying now is, this is the type of story that had you heard this back when we were growing up, it would have shocked us. You understand? Because it's almost like you know it exists, but you can't possibly fathom that it's this open and blatant. Now, for it to have happened like this nowadays, all people were doing was reposting the story and shaking their head in their comments, because it's like expected nowadays. How many unarmed black men are being shot openly by the cops, and they're immediately having some sort of, you know, backup story to get together before the investigators come along? We're speaking about the Trayvon Martin situation that comes up. If all of these things are happening so blatantly now, obviously there was something that we're not doing or we stopped doing. But to get back to this point, what we're speaking on tonight, for us to get to the point where it's such an open practice now for parents or caretakers or people in the kids' lives that are supposed to be the protection or the barrier from the outside world to be deliberately in some maybe indirect or perceived to be innocent form of enabling these people to target your child. Okay, there's a problem there. Now, I don't agree that it should be ACS coming in to snatch your kid. I don't think that's the solution. I don't even think it should be bordering on abuse unless you're practicing this with your kid. You are sitting up there going, do it again, baby. You know what? Guys, come look at what my kid can do. And you're doing it with
them.
Some
of them are doing that, too. I think that we're coming on the verge of something really phenomenal in this time. 2014, there's something phenomenal is happening. And you're going to see excessiveness on all avenues, because something phenomenal is trying to happen, and we're going to see the best of the best and the worst of the worst. And we have to be kind with the people who we know aren't doing things intentionally, and we have to be firm with the people who we believe are doing things with malice and harm. And there's something phenomenal is trying to occur, and it will occur. We're coming into a newness of how we are treating one another as people of color, and how we would allow people to treat us. You have those who are becoming more bold in what they will say to a black person. At one time, a white person would have never done anything like that in public to another person of color, you know? And now everyone, so you have extremes on all avenues. What I hope that we, all of us, those who are listening, that we recognize that when you see something that is wrong, that you be kind in your correction, that you be very kind in your correction, that you don't make people feel less than, and that you explain that's not appropriate. I remember I was in a store, and a little boy wasn't doing anything wrong, and his dad must have been maybe about 20 years old, and the dad says to the little boy, who might have been two or three, little nigga, let's go. come on, little nigga. And the little boy just got up, and I was looking at the father like, yo. And he said, what? That's my little nigga. Like, it meant nothing to him, you know?
Right.
And,
spoke on that, too.
You know, so, I mean, we have to just teach each other better, that's all. And I think that we will do better. I'm praying that we do better. And we have to become less judgmental. We are so judgmental with one another, especially those of us who are supposed to be enlightened and so conscious. We say some of the most harsh and wicked things, thinking that because it's true that you have a right to say it any way you want to. And if it's not done with love, then it shouldn't be done, period. We don't know how to love each other the way we used to. We really don't. Or maybe we never did, and it's just showing itself more now. But I believe that it's going to change for the better. I believe that. I want to believe that. And I hope that every person who's listening, that you take a look at what's happening within your household and you analyze what you do and how you speak to your children or how you listen to other adults speak to their children, and with kindness and with love, you do correction without the harmful wanting to make them feel less than. Because no one wants to hear you when you're harshly correcting them, you know?
Or tolerate.
Yeah, you know?
Got that. Now, you bring in what you just said to that point, and this is something that I have consistently, you know, said and when we speak about solutions. And one of the things that I do agree with is that we do need to control what is within our realm of control, within our capacity. We can't go out there, and I think that is a problem that we have. We cannot go out there trying to already conquer what's the big top dog position when we've been so broken up at the bottom, or we're such an internally divided, you know, have an internally divided thought process and way of being now, which brings us back to this is the first thing we need to do is remind our young kids what it is to be a kid in their role that must go through what my ex, my father, my grandfather, and everyone else that I know says, you must do your time. Meaning, you have to go through being the younger sibling that can't go do what your older children are doing or come back at the same hour or be allowed to be afforded the same privileges such as wearing certain makeups or getting your hair cut or your ear pierced as a boy to a certain point. So there are certain things that we have to do, because one of the problems that I'm seeing in these videos is that these young kids are picking up the most, how can I put this? They're picking up or practicing the most intense and intimate and way down the line points and aspects of adult life without understanding what the hell they're doing. And that has to be confusing in itself, where now these three-year-olds are thinking that, you know, I'm going to do something that my 19-year-old sister can do. And the 19-year-olds are thinking I can do the things around my parents that they do at 40, that they've earned the right to do. Because at 40, you can make the choice of singing. I can listen to an Eminem song in the explicit version and understand that I'm not going to make anything of it, or that I can make the choice to go out there and enjoy the beat but not particularly like the language coming out with it.
I said this earlier, I'm 45 years old, and I don't drink, I don't smoke, never have. But even if I did, I could never imagine partaking in that behavior with my parents. And a lot of times our young people feel like they can and do with their parent. And there's certain movies I won't even watch with my mother because I just, something within me tells me that it doesn't feel right, you know? And there's something missing in how we've taught our people what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And I'm well past grown, but there's certain things that I just won't do. certain things that I just won't do, not because I'm afraid to do it, because it just doesn't, it's not a thought. And I think that a lot of our parents and or guardians are so young and so unaware, they're not thinking, and we have to teach them. And we have to teach them again with kindness. And we can't be so mean, wicked, in our intent to share information. That's what I believe.
Getting back to what you pointed out about, you know, like your mindset when it comes down to certain things with your mom, that was us being the last of the generation raised by a village. Now, I see a lot of other cultures, and I'm going to step out on a limb here and say that I believe that that the last of that, when I speak the last of, is more on the African-American culture, because I see a lot of other cultures, Caribbean, Middle Eastern, things like that, that still to this day sort of all live as a village, sort of all, you know, have that enforced, that old-fashioned, you are a kid. Because I've seen some kids that are 24 and still, you know, have chores to do with the parent that they come back and visit with, or even if they're out on their own, pretty much mom and dad still have a lot to say about it, you know, and I see a lot of that happening. I'm 44. I'm right underneath you, so I know for a fact that when I smoke cigarettes, I want my father or mom to see me doing that, not because I believe I need their permission or that I'm afraid of them. It was just a matter of we have that internal respect. We are still the last of the generation that will go out and respect the church and not feel comfortable taking out certain things. I know I still walk past the church, and if I happen to buy something, I had a party once, and I said, I'm going to do the store run. Okay, and certain people in the group drank beer. Certain people wanted other things that, you know, I'm not involved with in the store. You know, get a wine cooler or get a fifth of this or do whatever. And I remember walking past the church on my way to the grocery store, and next to the grocery store, the liquor store. So buying these things for other people and walking with the product, I remember making sure that, you know, I felt uncomfortable even having the top of, like, certain of these products show in front of a church or when a preacher passed or someone you knew was affiliated with the church. You still have that, you know, when we were growing up in the churches and you had to respect even the most lying and wicked of old people that were there because they were older and they were elders. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do. Yeah.
Okay, so you have them old people that, you know, they'll have the Bible in their hand and wave and be the loudest testifiers and have the Holy Spirit at will and all this other stuff, and then will turn around and be the most wicked people to kids. Mm-hmm. But you had to shut up and grin and bear it because you were a kid, and back then it was supposed to be seen and not heard.
Oh yeah.
Okay, well, nowadays, the total reverse is in effect. These kids are not only being seen and heard, but they're being heard in the most disrespectful way. They're being shown themselves out in the most disrespectful and self-endangering of ways. And the thing is that nowadays, even the grandmothers are almost as young-minded as the children are. And I agree with you about owing respect even when you're trying to give some positive critique to your own, and I get that, but the point still remains. Some of this has to be with you, a grown-ass person. You need to have grown-ass thoughts when it comes down to somebody who's your age. Now, look, if you saw a guy calling his kid a little nigga, let's go, I can guarantee you that if you looked up, they were dressed the same. He probably had his four-year-old kid. He probably had his four-year-old kid with two earrings on his ears.
Two.
Wow, even worse.
Yeah.
So he probably had his his 2-year-old son with two earrings. I've seen some people, okay, to each his own, I don't get it, but to me, the pieces that were on these toddlers, who, by the way, are going to outgrow these things in a split week, what are you doing putting bling on your toddler? What are you doing trying to go buy, you know, $500 sneakers for your toddler? Simply because it's the thing to do. And then understand, while girls in the twerking videos are displaying or uplifting this one image and this thing that can entice. Our boys are victims too.
Oh, sure.
And that's the one thing that seems to be another problem. You know what? So many male rape victims have been out there. So many boys have been molested at early ages and grow up because they're under the male blanket. You're not supposed to go through that. If a woman has sex with you, it's not rape. You're supposed to take that like a man. But this boy understood the difference between making a choice and not liking what he felt. Regardless how good physically itself, no, even rape victims can have an orgasm. It doesn't mean they liked what happened to them. It means their body is going to do what it's naturally designed to do with certain things happening. But the thing is, boys, I've seen so many choir boys in the Catholic churches that grew up, and at 24 when they felt safe now are talking about the effects that this particular thing had on them. What do you think you're doing when you're putting your boys out there too?
It's not just Catholic churches either.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. I'm starting to see a lot more of our African-American preachers coming forth in scandals.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, oh. And it's ridiculous. It doesn't matter in that respect what color you are.
We're so broken. We're so broken looking for a place to belong. We as African-American people, we went from African to Negro, nigger, and all the colored, and all those things that we've, and we're still trying to find our place. And I think that a lot of our young people are lost because they don't know where they belong anymore, and they're trying to find a place to be. And we have to find a place for them, because if we don't, they will go looking for a place themselves. And we can't really blame them, because we all have one common thread. We all want to belong somewhere. We all want to feel loved. We all want to be seen, you know, and so there's work that we all need to do. I just hope that we could find a way to do the work without hurting one another. And I hope that everyone that is listening can really receive that. Yes, correct the bad behavior, but also recognize, have good intent with whatever you're doing. And and I'm very proud of you, let me say that too.
Because thank you.
You're bringing forth such great wisdom and messages to our Black community in a way that hasn't been done in a long time, or not done for any long length of time. So it's really nice and refreshing to hear it. And we still have work to do, and it's not going to happen overnight. You know?
Well, real change and real success never does, and that's the other problem that we have. And one of the things that I did want to bring up is to what you just said. Our children don't have a way to go anymore, because you know what? The world is telling them, just like Miley Cyrus, cut up the skirts, cut down the shirts. The boys are being told to lower their pants, look like fools, act like slugs, go out there and say a beat, write a 5-minute song that's telling you to go rape a hoe and kill a bitch and, you know, get the papers, shoot that money, you know, do whatever. Meanwhile, you're supposed to be able to go back home to your parents, or it doesn't have to be your parents, anyone that is your guardian, your caretaker, your authority figure. And you're supposed to hear the other side of that. That's entertainment. Some people will take on a persona that they don't even really walk that walk in real life, but it's entertainment. That is where the difference is between a 45-year-old who has walked that walk and did their time and reached this point by way of rightful rites of passage.
Yeah.
By way of rightful milestone development, where they can get to that point to say, I can listen to Eminem because my friends are here and I'm in their home and that's what they like. But I don't have to like what I hear, or I can understand that Eminem is just being that way for entertainment. Gotcha. A child at 15 is really believing Superman can fly.
Mm. So, do you remember when we were younger and you had to sit at the table with your siblings, even if mom and dad wasn't there, that your brothers and sisters had to sit at the table to have dinner together?
And indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
And I was going to make a point before
you had to fill your plate.
Go ahead.
And you had to And you had to show your plate to your parents before you can get up at the table because you had to clean.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember it well.
We're not doing that anymore. There's a lot of work that we as people of color must do. There are a lot of things that we must bring back, and I think that we will. I think what happens is that as we become more aware, we think that some of the old school things aren't needed any longer, and that isn't true. And I'm not saying everything old school was all great, because they've had...
Oh, no.
Of course, but there's some things that we still need to hold on to, and I think that we will. And I think with discussions, open discussions, we can do that. And I think what the best thing about social media is that we now have a way to do it with people who are not just in New York, but in different parts of the world. And you can have those open discussions in a respectful and kind way.
Indeed. Even rivalries among people who were voting for opposing basketball teams knew how to debate with class or with respect. You know, fights, we were just talking about that. As a matter of fact, one of my best girlfriends of over 20-something years, we started out having rivalry with each other and had a fight in school because her sister got tired of us bickering. And she goes, you know what? Y'all not leaving this schoolyard till y'all duke it out, because y'all need to get this out your system. Now, that's the way she spoke. And we wind up getting into a fight. And, you know, we fought for a good, 20, 30 minutes. And when that fight was over, you know what we did? Well, you pulled my hair out, and it took me 3 hours to put them beads in my braids. I said, well, you messed up my perm. I don't know what to tell you. And we laughed about it, and the very next day was Halloween. I was in our house overstuffing our stomach on bad candy corn and watching Michael Myers on the big box floor screen TVs. Mm. Nowadays, when a kid has a fight in 1997, they'll take out revenge in 1999. It's never finished.
Just this past Halloween, I was really shocked to see how little, there were hardly any children outside. There was no one dressed. I saw no one. And we're taking everything from our children, and so they're looking for something. We can't take everything from them. And I think a lot of the religious places, they go, oh, don't believe it, and we don't do that. We're taking everything from our children and not giving anything back to them to replace what we take from them. And so they're starting to look in other places for it. And we have to be very careful what we take from our children and not place back something that's equally as fulfilling and fun.
There's a lot of outside factors, Charles, that goes to this. But the bottom line is, despite the outside factors, the one solid thing that's supposed to be in place for these children not to be getting up and trying to dress like Daisy Duke at 3 years old and, you know, and twerk like a stripper and do certain things. This one second.
I'm
this
not
comes from.
With you.
No, I know. I'm saying that for those that are listening that probably do this with their kids. You know, when we did part one of this, when we did this original segment, I remember a panelist, and I think that disturbed me most because I thought that while he was on point, he was also way off base at the exact same time. Now, one of the things that he said was he suspected two things, that obviously this must have been a young mother that was in the house when we were talking about the video that was posted of this, a little older girl. As a matter of fact, it was three young girls. I must have been sisters or whatever. One was in no shirt and a skirt. One was just in a short skirt, and one was in a very tight, I don't know if it was a two-piece pantsuit or a one-piece, like, catsuit. Okay, but these were three little girls that were doing this like a performance in this particular video. Now, when we had that discussion and used that as our point of discussion, this panelist came in and said, well, I saw the video, and based on the house that it was filmed in, I believe that it was a young parent with no father in the home, because you know why? Because the person that was speaking is a good father himself and didn't give up on his kids, but that's not always so true. Now, granted, majority of the times when you're having a lot of these like the boy's going wrong or whatever the case is. It's not that they're going wrong because they don't have good parents. It's because they're looking for something that, as I spoke about in the parenting segment, no matter how good a single anything you are, you still need that other half for completion. It doesn't necessarily have to be that you are involved with that other half, but you need the opposite gender to fill in the roles that they were designed to play in a child's life and in a child's upbringing, be it a very strong uncle or just their active father that may not be able to live with the mother. But either way, that needs to happen. Now, looking at these twerking videos, how can anybody solidly say that it strictly must be a single female home, then the grandmothers are with them being a further or extended single female composition of the household, when guys are out there teaching their two-year-olds to get two ears pierced, to get long braids put in their hair with things down to their butts and having, you know, certain ornaments in their hair that, you know, looks like it's from a jailhouse gang or whatever the case is. When guys are having their babies, their toddlers' clothes sagging so their diapers show while they're sagging so their drawers show.
But, you know, so I wonder where's the accountability when you see these videos posted and these sites are allowed to stay up that post these videos.
That's a whole other segment because that goes to America's twisted, convoluted, you know, you have all these rights, but yet we can invade them anytime we want. So we're going to go there in another segment because we spoke about that in the way that, you know, they tell you things about your team. Matter of fact, that's another contribution, in my opinion, to this twerking situation. Okay, how are you going to tell a parent that your child is allowed behind your back to go get birth control, have an abortion, get a pregnancy test, get treated for a disease? But if any of those treatments should have an adverse reaction, or if your child should have an asthma attack in the middle of the driveway of the hospital, they can't touch your child without parental permission, but they could tell your child to go grow up without guidance, behind and without your parents' permission. They'll put a fishbowl or a candy bowl of colorfully wrapped condoms of all different styles and features and glowing colors and lubricants and statuses and oils and all this stuff for your kid to go turn in the late pass and grab a condom on the way out without the parents having a right to say yes or no. They can tell you, well, here's a clinic. Go get an IUD for the girls. Go get an abortion at this clinic. They will counsel your daughter on the biggest decision of her life without your permission.
Question now, where are the parents when they have these open school nights?
What about when the parents go up there? By the time that all of this, that they even realize that this is an open practice, and believe me, I'm not putting this goes for all parents, good parents and parents that need guidance. Let me explain this to you. By the time a parent actually realizes that there's a bowl of condoms free for your son to grab as he sees fit while he's turning in a bad report card or getting a suspension or getting a reprimand in an office, like I said, leave the office, grab a condom on the way out the door. And parents ain't got it right. By the time they figure this out is usually when they have to go up to an office to get a paper they need for some work-related or public assistance-related issue or some other thing. And then they see that there, and that's when they're outraged. By that time, the children have already had all this access or had the right to see it and make a choice not to need it. So you can't take the rights of a parent away when it comes down to teaching them the rights and wrongs of this particular thing or to give them a choice or not in this particular thing. When you're sitting up there in the same token telling them, but we're not going to treat your child for the medically adverse reactions they had before the free birth control that we gave them that their bodies might not be compatible with. Because in order for us to do that, you need to come down there and sign a permission slip before we could even touch them. But in the same token, now you have to break that team confidentiality because no parent is going to sit up there and say, treat my child for an adverse reaction and don't know what the hell they're reacting to.
Oh, I remember when I was a kid, they wouldn't give me aspirin. I used to have the severe migraine headaches. They wouldn't give me aspirin without having a call I couldn't get an aspirin for a headache without my parents' permission.
Well, listen, that's not even all day nothing, because let me explain this to you. I've got children in school right now. We all suffer with asthma medically and otherwise. We have a prescription pump. We have to take it with us. And they are telling us that if we don't fill out yet another government form on top of all the crap they give you in the beginning of the year to fill out, stating that this child is being seen by a doctor for this particular thing, if they should have an asthma attack in school, the school nurse can't touch them. Because suddenly they're liable. How the hell are you not liable for giving my kid birth control that you don't even know how the hell it works at 14 and 13 and 12 without my permission, but you can't treat my child to save their life? But you can give them permission to go out there and twerk and have sex and give birth to babies or get rid of them or do whatever, and then turn around and tell me that after you did the wrong thing and you gave them something that messed their system up, you can't treat them for your damn mistakes without my permission.
There's work to do.
Now, on the other hand, you have, like I said, these parents that are sitting up there trying to regain their youth and forgetting that they have to get older because that's the order of things. Your parents grew you as a kid, taught you what to do so you can go in the world to be an adult, to teach your kids, that taught you what to do to go out there so they could teach their kids. And the cycle is supposed to continue. And each generation is supposed to take the wisdom of the last one and add on to the missing parts and then pass that on for your next generation to do the same. Now, when you are somewhere within 40, 45, 50, going to 60, you're moving up there, and all you can think about as a man is, do my haircut look good? Do I have the right studs? Am I up to date on the latest motorcycle? Do I have the best Jordans out there? Is my hair cut tight? Is my white gold or silver or whatever? At 50-something, we got issues.
Yeah.
And when all you want to do as a woman in your 40s is talk about how you can still get into a miniskirt you wore when you were 22 or a cheerleader in high school, and you want to sit there and outdo your daughter, we got issues. Because like you said, where the hell does the kid go for direction? If the world is telling them it's okay, and they feel funny because they believe their parents wouldn't, but then their parents come home dressed up like they used to be or like their own friends do, and
it's telling them... Well, they have wearing the child's clothes.
Even that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Even that. My daughter has some nice stuff from, like, Forever 21. And I like to wear them not because I think I'm a kid, but because they're cute styles that I never had the guts to wear before because I always thought I didn't look good in them or that, it didn't go. But when my daughter, who's, like, the fashion expert in here, I'm the techie person. I'm the one that crunches the papers and thinks up the stuff. I love a good hairdo and my nails and stuff and get dressed up. Yeah, everybody's seen the pictures. But do I spend my time believing that every waking moment of my life I need to have $200 put to the side for a nail job or I'll die? Nah, that's not my thinking.
No, and we don't want to judge people who can afford to do that.
No, I'm not. I'm saying. I'm saying that many of these parents that are trying to be in their teen's place when they're supposed to be a step hold above has that way of thinking, has that, oh, my God, if I don't have this money, if I don't do this every week, it's for that reason. There's something else going on with them. And that's where the point where that has, listen, if that's going on with you, you need to seek out some sort of help so you can get back where you need to be for your child. Because if daddy is not in the house to protect their princess, and that when she calls him daddy, somebody else is going to have her calling her daddy with other services.
Of course. Of course. Of course.
And now you don't put your daughter in a position of which daddy to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Which daddy will you serve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I see it more, not with just girls, boys, too. I see it with both. Oh, yeah. A lot of issues out there. And I like that we can discuss them because then we can figure out how to correct them with love. Because if you're not doing it in a loving way, then no one can receive it. And I think that we have to be very careful in how we correct one another again. And, of course, we want to make sure that our children are safe. And we want to shut down these sites that allow these videos to be posted up and to keep them up, you know. I don't think that anyone's doing enough to keep those, to remove these like they, I guess you can. I don't know. I'm not electronically astute. But you can post anything anywhere. You can beat it to somebody beating the hell out of somebody on your cell phone and put it on that other, I don't even want to mention the name of that place, but everybody's videotaping. You won't stop a fight, but you'll record it. You know?
Oh, indeed.
You know, and these sites are out there, and everybody is watching them, because if you weren't watching them, they wouldn't be up.
So, and by the way, that's where I think our problem is. It's not so much that, you know, we're allowing the videos to stay up. We as individuals are not doing enough to stop them from being re-advertised. That's something that one of a very dear friend of mine who's part of this team actually brought up to me. I was so upset with seeing this flyer of Martin Luther King. Apparently it's a club or an event place that this event company that, you know, is trying to advertise the events that they do. And they call it the Freedom to Twerk, right? They had a picture of Martin Luther King wearing, like, Run DMC bling chains.
I saw it.
Okay, you did see it. And it said Freedom to Twerk. Now, the freedom part of it, obviously, was what Martin Luther King was supposed to be representing, the word freedom, that everybody could associate freedom with things that Martin spoke about. And then they had a girl, like, dressed up like a stripper after work, okay, right next to Martin.
Yeah.
So the thing is now is that I got so upset with it that I reposted it on my timeline with my comment and my frustration, and somebody wrote to me, don't help them advertise this.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, no, when all of us are talking about what can we do, stop posting it again.
Mm-hmm.
Stop having long 48-hour conversations.
I've
that go to
nowhere. Quite a few people, and I love my Facebook family that I've met through you and through my family, actual blood family, but I've actually had to delete a lot of people because of their hate and their ignorance, whether or not it's intentional or not. It kind of makes me sick, and I don't want to be judgmental about it, but I also don't want to see it on my page. So I've actually deleted a lot of people. I've been doing that too, and I think we're going to be okay. I think that having these open discussions make it better, and I think that someone is listening, and there's going to be something happening where we're going to make things better. And who you vote for, make sure that you're voting for people who are going to listen to what you want and what's best for your communities as well, our communities as well. That plays a part in it as well, too. But that social media, as great as it can be, is a slippery slope, and there's a lot of other underlying things that are very seedy, and we have to be careful what we are watching and seeing and posting and allowing to be up. And the same thing with that Martin Luther King. What happened to the responsibility of the person who made that poster or flyer?
Actually, that one had a great ending, and that's what I had posted in the social media department. When I saw that there was a follow-up story to that, and I think that's the first one I've ever seen that this happened. But what took place was apparently the people in that area got very offended by it. And when the person that owns the place the event was supposed to take place in found out about it or heard the commotion even, the event was canceled.
Good.
So that to me is what I said, you know, my post was, now that's true activism.
Yeah, and,
okay,
and we have power to change that, and we have power to change it, and I think that we don't recognize how much power we have, and we don't have to be mean. And he can still stay in business, but just check him when he's out of, or her, when they're out of line. That's all we have to do. you know.
And people obviously felt enough about it to say that whether it came from I don't want to lose my future customer standpoint or they were really appalled with the situation, they took a good action. The thing is, what you just said goes back to our children as well. So that the way that you can do things is stop trying to take the big prize right off the bat. How about trying to pick up every little prize you could get so that you can accumulate enough to go after that one? And what I'm saying is, the same way this one person or these few people protested about it and this one manager made the decision to cancel it, said enough. That means we can do the same with this world star hip-hop garbage that's being sent down. Now, don't get me wrong. Let me bring up something today that made me really upset, because here we go again being the example that leads to these children feeling that twerking and exposing their bodies is the way it's supposed to go. And one of the things was, and everybody who has heard me know that this woman I'm about to mention, I adore with my heart and soul as a representative of what we really are, and that's Judge Lynn Tola on Divorce Court. Okay? Now, today, surprisingly, World Star Hip Hop actually posted a positive video showing a very stupid side of it, but countered by the best of us and what we really are. Now, this couple was in divorce court. The man was there stating that he was suing his wife to get back a 2000 Camry. Car, 2000 Camry, that he had upgraded and put all his hard-earned investment in and everything, which he did for the benefit of the wife having, you know, a way to get around with the kids and, you know, the family having a good investment, you know, to get around. Now, he said, why are you here? She asked, why are you here today? And he started off by saying, I don't know. I thought we had a great relationship. I mean, nothing was wrong. I don't know why we're here, but I do know that one day she asked me for the car and said she'll be back, and that was back in November. Okay? So now Judge Lynn turns to her and says, well, Miss Lucas, why are we here? He says you had a great relationship. She said, we do. We did, and I believe he's my soulmate. But she said, well, then what's the problem? He's too nice.
Oh, my.
Wait, no, you need to hear this, because there's a whole lot more to this stupidness, okay? She said he's too nice. He tells her he loves her twice a day or more. He cooks for her. He believes in giving her everything. And she said that every time he says, I love you, she puts her hands up like, all right already, like, when's the punch coming? Well, the judge said, well, he's been married to you for 5 years. Has he punched you yet? She was like, no. So she goes, so tell me, you know, she goes, and he made me gain weight. So she goes, okay, so tell me about that. Because this man could cook, right? She said the brother could throw down. And if I tell him I'm hungry at 2 o'clock in the morning, he don't just go get me a sandwich. He'll make a 5-course meal, like a whole meatloaf, gravy, potatoes. And I'm still sitting here. And then the judge goes, so your complaint is? And then after all of this, then she goes, yeah, he tells me he loves me all the time, and he's this. And I'm like, oh, that's like too much. It's like stalker type nice. And we're all like, uh-huh. So the judge said something that just threw me for a loop, because Judge Lynn Tola is the most balanced, respectable. She can take the craziest things at her and still find a very diplomatic way of addressing it. And she said, Miss Lucas, have you lost your mind? She said, "This, you have a man that loves you unconditionally, says I love you without being prompted, without looking for sex, without looking to get something. I hear people say that he don't take care of the children. He doesn't pay child support. He doesn't pick up after himself. He calls me fat. He left me for another woman. This man is here with you, cooks for you, cleans up for you, has glaucoma, can't barely see, but will sit there and love you whether you are fat, thin, with a weave, without, and you want to leave him because you're a self-centered person.
Well, he doesn't feel that she's deserving. A lot of our people, men and women, don't feel deserving of love. They don't know what to do with it. They've never heard it before, and they don't feel worthy.
Now, getting back to that part, this man said that they had that discussion before marriage because he said, I told her, this is for keeps. I don't take this lightly. This is for life. And one of the things that they discussed was specifically that both of them said they don't want a person that's going to disrespect them and never tell them that they love them and do whatever. The thing is that this type of division and confusion is what leads to our boys thinking that they need to walk out and serve the stereotype that the outsiders have of us, that all we are lazy thugs that deserve to be given money to be clowns or displayed as clowns by giving us a portion of things that they swear we couldn't dream of having on our best day, right? Like, for example, Maury Povich has our people looking like a bunch of, I sleep around with 50 guys a day. By the age of 18, I have a baby that has to have 50 fathers. I don't know which one it is. I'm going to say that's 100%, knowing that it couldn't be 100% if I dealt with 100 men.
Okay? And who was
And so, I'm sorry, yeah, right. That's what I brought that up too. Mm-hmm. Not only do we allow them to take what we are and who we are and what we create and what we adopt and then capitalize it off of our ideas because they love what they see, but they'll ridicule us for it so that we don't love what we do. But we're the ones that help them do it because
we're someplace. We want to belong, and at any means necessary, we want to belong someplace. Even at our own demise, we want to be seen so desperately that even to our own detriment, just to be
seen. And to the detriment of our two-year-olds winding up twerking at the direction of their parents.
Yeah.
And that's basically where all of this other stuff is showing how it's connected. These girls are believing that that this is the way they're going to be successful. By showing more skin, by being as provocative as possible,
but
by being related, I understand. Let me finish, Charles. I understand where you're coming from. It is true. By all means, that's what the media is telling them. But that's where a parent's job is to come in and tell them, despite what you see, keep your eyes focused past that. You are better than this. You are my child. You are my prince. You are my princess. I made mistakes, too. I know what it's like. I've been there, done that. My private parts used to tingle for the opposite sex, and I understand what that's about. That's perfectly normal, but here's how you handle it, son. Here's how you handle it, sweetheart.
And we have to find a place for them after we remove them from those sites that would allow them to shine and give them the financial stability to support themselves, too, without having to remove their clothes. Our boys and girls, too. Those opportunities are not out there, so we have to create those things, too. If your child wants to be a performer, instead of you having him or her twerk, because boys are doing it also, why don't you put them someplace where they can be entertainers, if that's what they want to do, instead of being Facebook celebrities, which is what a lot of people are now.
And I know that.
Children, these are grown-ass people. So,
can you remember our parents giving up looking like stars if they had to because they knew they had to work because they wanted us to have a college fund?
Hmm.
Do you remember them talking about at least I'm going to save up to get Junior his guitar because he wants to play the guitar? Whether or not Junior was at the point of being able to say I'm solidly and eternally committed to making this happen, you know how some kids would see a dancer and want to be a dancer and then a year later they're bored with dancing so they want to do whatever. They're at that creative search mode and our parents used to sit back there and sacrifice so that whatever equipment they needed for whatever their flavor of the month was, they wanted to give their kid a shot.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that now. These parents nowadays are not giving a damn about saving anything, even with the economic crunches, because I know a lot of you out there listening are going, well, we just don't have that. Nowadays, we have to go from penny to pinch. We stopped being community activists. We stopped fighting and bitching and doing what we had to do when it came down to things coming into our neighborhood. We had parents that went to the boring council meeting, city hall meetings or town hall meetings. We called them boring. because we had to sit there and wait for a bunch of big people to talk about things that at our age we had no clue was what the importance of it was. We had parents that filled up the auditorium for open teacher night and PTA meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, PTAs have to sit there and entice
and
parents to come in.
Yeah, they have to literally tell you that if you don't show up, you're putting your child out of school.
Or not even that. In order for people to bring a parent to their own child's PTA meeting, their own parent association meeting, they have to bribe them. If you come, there's refreshments. If you come, there's going to be a prize giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
Your child is being honored for an award. That's the only way a lot of these people will come in, is when they can get something back, like they can take something with them, a door prize. This is your children, people.
Mm.
The parent association is your personal voice against the system, because the Board of Ed literally cannot touch what a parent association does or says or votes for or acts for. They cannot stop the fundraisers. They can have unlimited amount of money making, that they make the decision with the school on where they want it to go. That's where your voice is. That's where you get to say, I don't want this to happen next year. I'm sick and tired of all the money going to yet another textbook so that we could take the creativity out of the school. Why not put this money into a music arts position? Why not give our children real dance lessons and not twerking dance lessons?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not enhance the sports team with this money that the PTA have raised among themselves?
Mm-hmm. And also, in doing that also, not ridicule the young people who really just want to belong. They really don't, they don't know any better. They really
don't. I don't blame the youth at all.
No, I'm not,
I don't blame the youth
I'm just speaking in general, that
right.
We really have to be careful, because we recognize your light and we see that you want to shine. We just have to find a place that's safe for you to shine. And there's appropriate, age appropriate, you know. Now, if you want to be 21 and do that, that's your choice, because you're an adult then. But at
and
six,
one that shines your light properly.
Exactly.
Not just to be seen, but to be known and to be recognized and to be uplifted and to be not worshipped, because I don't give worship to any man or woman on this earth. It belongs to God, and that's it. But somebody to know who you are and know you from the inside out, that your talent is a reflection of who you are.
Yeah. And that we are God. We are God and goddesses, and we're supposed to respect one another in that way too. The same way that you pray to the energy that you don't see, you're supposed to also give respect and reverence to that which you do see. Respect the people that are in your community, the people that are right in front of you, the people who live right next door to you. Know who your people are, and watch after the children, even the ones that don't belong to you. You know, ask this child, where are you coming from? Where are your parents? You know, if you ask questions, we don't do that anymore. And I was on a train, and I see that young boy who still hasn't been found yet. He's been missing for months, and no one has seen anything. No one has seen anything. I find that amazing that no one saw anything.
Nobody saw anything, nothing. They saw him, and I'm going to bring that up again, once again, parents, that we don't fight for our own community or the rights of it anymore. They saw him. They saw him, and that security guard knew enough to see him to ask him where he was going, because apparently he wasn't supposed to be doing what he was doing at that time of day, meaning that it wasn't the proper dismissal time. It wasn't the proper procedure he was following. But because this security guard was not aware or wasn't in tune with this student's particular disability to understand that one of his disabilities was he could not speak. She decided to chalk it up to, oh, well, it's another one of these dumb, troubled kids, and they're probably going to get fresh anyway. What the hell? She literally turned her back on him. And when the situation came up, it took them 1 hour after that boy walked out on the camera for them to call his mother and let him know that the child was given a hard time. Had that security guard took 2 extra seconds to get offended that this guy didn't respond to her and call for backup, she might have gotten to the office, because the office personnel knows more about the students than the security guard and even the principal does.
I think we're afraid of our children. We're afraid of hurting them. We're afraid of them, of the agencies taking them from us. We're afraid, and we're raising our children in fear, giving them
this
everything.
This is a security guard whose job was to secure, and yeah. And there's no excuse for her attitude. None.
No, well, that security guard is also probably a parent too. And you don't want to overstep any boundaries because you don't want, because the young people are attacking you, and they do. Some of them are out of line, and they do things they weren't supposed to do, and they do say things that they shouldn't say, and they are violent. Some of them are, and so you don't want to. You are fearful. We are raising our children fearfully, in fear. We are scared of our young. We're scared of them, and that's just why they are in the situation that they are in now, you know. And I remember when you could tap your child's tail in the middle of a department store when he or she did not do something. Not anymore, because you're afraid. I'm not saying beat your children up, but I'm saying correcting them with lovingly taps on their tail if you have to, and the people are afraid to do that. Because you don't know, you don't want nobody to call the child protective agencies on you, and or to call the police on you. And we just have to stop being so afraid and take a chance. And I think that what's happening now, I think with you and other people like yourself who are creating these kind of opportunities for us to discuss these things, we're going to do better. I believe that we are, and I want to encourage your listeners to continue to support you, because I think what you're doing is phenomenal. I'm very proud of you, and I love you. You know how much I love you, and I just want us to continue to do better for one another, and we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right.
And I'm going to thank you, and I'm actually, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring this late segment to a close. All of you know that I am dealing with a post-surgical son at this moment. But I do want to let all of you know that I appreciate those of you that are listening in. I appreciate you, Charles, for coming in and being a very intriguing panelist. And the mission is to bring awareness and to bring improvement and for us to reunite and for us to understand that social media is our friend and our enemy at the same time. It's what you make of it. If you're going to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, any of these places, you need to be using it as a way to give yourself an edge up, a step up, and a step forward, not to sit there and use it for further bashing to yourself, so that all those that are helping us stay stuck in the mud spinning a wheel, continue to have a legitimate reason in their mind as to why they continue to view us the way they do. For us to keep continually self-shadowing all of our good things and letting all the rotten garbage part come out to the front page all the time. Stop letting the outsiders capitalize on the worst image of our culture by only allowing movies about oppression or thuggery or drug dealing or self-clowning or self-degradation to be the only thing that mainstream Hollywood would allow to be played and become a multi-mega box office. Stop allowing all the greatness of us to be degraded by letting greats like Halle Berry and Denzel Washington only be allowed for an Oscar nomination when he plays a crooked cop and she plays a crackhead whore that was screwed by a racist. All of these slave movies that wants to remind and put to the front page just how weak they thought we were or how much they overpowered us are becoming big-time things. Everybody wants to talk about now Mandela, not because the man was great and died, but because it's a capitalism thing of the tragedy of his death. So you think about that. So until tonight, tomorrow night, everyone, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Let's go out there and protect our children from the predators of the world by not allowing to see our children in a way that the innocence is not there. Let's stop going out there and dressing down with our children and trying to be their friends. Let's be their parents. Let's bring back the walls of protection and the barrier between our children and the dangers of the world. Let's stop re-advertising stupidness from World Star Hip Hop by starting yet another conversation that's going to go on for 3 to 4 days. Let's stop shaking our heads and start shaking our legs in movement towards something. That's my wish. That's my prayer. And that's what I am going to do. Everything in our power with people who are trying to see it and make a move, collaborating and working with what's within my own circle that I can change when I send it out there. So as I said, everyone, till tomorrow night, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Thank you for coming, Charles. Thank you to the listener that's listening in. Thank you for the 20,321 people we have gotten as of yesterday morning. I want to thank all of you. God bless you all, and please make a difference.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.